Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet, the show looking forward to the weekend's big action. My name is James Stevens, journalist and West Country correspondent, and looking forward to a fantastic weekend's racing. We've got the richest handicap chase outside the Grand National to look forward to at Newbury. That's the Coral Gold Cup, one of four races, four live ITV races we'll be previewing there. We've also got two at Newcastle, including the Grade One Fighting Fifth, a top class weekend and a top class panel. We've got Ed Nicholson from Unibet, fresh from his 6-1 winning nap last week. Let's see if he can follow that up. Steel Alley was the big one for Ed last week. Graham Rodway and Johnny Pearson, familiar names, join us on the panel. Now, I mentioned Newcastle. We've got the BetGM Fighting Fifth, which we're going to go into first. But of course, we had, Ed, some real movement in that champion hurdle market since we spoke last week. We now know Constitution Hill isn't going to run at Newcastle. We now know the verdict of a fascinating Unibet Morgiana hurdle. Just give us a rundown of the last 7 days since we were last all together and how that Unibet champion hurdle picture is looking.
Yeah, well, we've had two different favourites, almost three with State Man on Sunday, but the Unibet Morgiana was run on Saturday at Punchestown, and that was a really interesting race. State Man looked as if he needed the run, was giving weight away to the mare, Brighter Days Ahead. And Brighter Days Ahead came back and beat State Man in that Grade One. I think Willie Mullins kind of left a lot on State Man. So it's kind of going to be interesting the way they go forward in the future. Brighter Days Ahead, I spoke to Gordon Elliott, and he said to me at that time, directly after the race, that she was more likely to go for the mares than the Unibet Champion Hurdle. But she is available at 6-1 at the moment. Constitution Hill 3-1, State Man 7-2, but the favourite is Lossy Mouth, who was the only filly really not to run or gallop in the last 2 weeks, and she's kind of gone to the favourite by default, really. She runs on Sunday, which is going to be interesting in the Hatton's Grey, so we definitely will see a difference in the market following this weekend, because obviously we've got Sergino, who is currently 5-1, and Mystical Power, who's 10-1, going head-to-head in the Fighting Fifth. So it's going to be yet another great week with that race in mind. Another piece of the jigsaw maybe firmly put into a corner.
Okay, then. So we move on to the first of live races we're looking at. We're up at Newcastle. We've got two live races there, and we start in the 2:10, the BetMGM Fighting Fifth Hurdle. No Constitution Hill, as we mentioned, but Nicky Henson still has representation with Sergino. Currently, as we speak, about 11-10 favourite. Mystical Power representing Willie Mullins, 11-8. Brentford Hope, 11s. Lump Sun, 14s. But this race all centres around Sergino. Graham, let's start with you. We know we're not going to see Constitution Hill. How good a horse do we think Sergino is? And is he going to win the 2:10 at Newcastle?
Well, he could be very good, couldn't he, James? We don't really know yet, of course. But his form is very solid, isn't it? He beat Salvatore Mundi in France, who I think is favourite for the Supreme, isn't he? And, of course, has beaten the Triumph Hurdle runner-up, Cargeese, last time at Aintree quite easily, and had Burdett Road beaten All Ends Up at Cheltenham previously. So he could be an absolute superstar. And if you, depending on what sort of emphasis you put on the gallop, there's no doubt anyway to my eye that he was absolutely cantering all over Constitution Hill, wasn't he? Whether that was the Constitution Hill that we all know or not, we will find out. But it's quite possible that Sergino has improved significantly over the winter, and for me anyway, he's by far the most exciting horse in the race. I think it's quite he could be the next star in the division, couldn't he? So I think he'll win, James. I want to see him win. But of course, he's going to have a proper test here, because Mystical Power is equally promising.
So Gino for Graham, pretty strong on him. Johnny, do you agree with Graham?
I mean, you'd be pretty disappointed if the winner didn't come from either Sergino or Mystical Power. I mean, there's the others have run plenty, and we know they're not up to the highest level, really. But, you know, why not take your chance? You know, Constitution Hill's not running in the race. You can get some prize money. I hope, you know, the head to falter, you know, they're still fairly unexposed. But I think my you know, Sergino could be anything, but he's a four-year-old still, and he's only run, you know, three times for Nicky Henderson, albeit winning all three. I think the jury still had a little bit going, you know, up against older horses for all Mystical Powers and novice last year. He is that year older, likely to be a bit stronger. For me, has the best form in the book, and I'd make him favourite for the race over Sergino. And I think he's the one to be with.
Mystical Powers, so a difference of opinion already, which we're interested to see. Ed, I'm sure you're going to authoritatively settle this, aren't you?
Yeah, I feel like the head judge at Strictly Come Dancing comes to the final decision, and I'll make the difference. I think Mystical Power is the best horse in the race in what we've seen so far on the race course. I think it's going to be a fascinating race for more than one reason. First of all, the result of this is going to have a massive shake-up on the Unibet Champion Hurdle because of State Man and Sergino being in the same ownership. But this race itself is a grade one. But traditionally, Nicky does go up there with a very good horse, normally the current champion hurdler. Sergino's not that. Sergino's a four-year-old, and yet his favourite to beat the year-older Mystical Power, who is actually rated higher. And at the prices, I think you've got to be with Mystical Power because you'll get 13 to 8, 7 to 4 at the time of recording against 5 to 4, 11 to 10. Having said that, I know for a fact that the stable at Nicky Henderson thinks Sergino is one of the quickest horses they've got at the stables. And you know, there was a question mark of whether he should be kept over hurdles or go for a chasing career. And I think that's the point. This race will determine which way Sergino goes. If he wins easily, Nicky's got a headache because where does he go? If he wins this, either him or Constitution Hill, depending on what he does at the Christmas hurdle, will then go to the Unibet hurdle, I would have thought, and then the Unibet champion hurdle. But I kind of think of Bouvet Dare. Bouvet Dare went back over fences, didn't he? And he ran in fences from the 17th of December and the 31st of December and then came back to hurdles in February. So, you know, Sergino, even if, you know, Sergino's the other way around, he's going to hurdles, but he could even go back to chasing. I just think Mystical Power will win here, but I'm fascinated as to what happens should Sergino win. What would you do? Sergino won. Would you keep to hurdling or would you go fencing? Graham,
I think the owner is also a consideration because obviously he owns the Donnelly's own State Man, don't they? The current champion hurdle winner as well. So it may depend on what else they've got to run in the race as well. Ed, but I think if he wins, you have to go for a champion hurdle, don't you? I mean, if you've won a fight in fifth, grade one in its own right, beating a serious rival like Mystical Power, I think his hand will be forced, surely, no?
Yeah, I that's the kind of feeling I get. And so that's why it's going to be fascinating what happens after the race if Sergino wins, but I don't think he will. I'm going to go for Mystical Power.
Okay, so we have the Strictly Judge and we've got Mystical Power, two shouts to one. And just on your Bouvet Dare point, I think the interesting angle with him as well is he was around the same point as Altior, wasn't he? Who was that star name and he had to sort of go around and went hurdling almost because why would you want to take on Altior? But nevertheless, we found out a bit more. All eyes on the 210 Newcastle. Fascinating race with a view to the future. And so many other interesting horses in there. Brentford Hope. It's interesting what he might get up to in that sort of level. And, of course, Tell of a Name, who was the horse I was most interested to see how he progressed this season. But that's the 210 at Newcastle. We'll move on to the 320. This is the best.
James, I should just mention, sorry, that we are industry best price on that race as well. So it's quite an important offer to mention. So sorry for interrupting. But do want to bet on that race, we are the best place to go. From 9 o'clock on Saturday, you will not get a better price on any horse in that race.
Absolutely. And of course, shout out to the Unibet blog as well, which I'm sure will have interesting thoughts from Nicky Henson ahead of Sergino's race in the Fighting Fifth. Right. Move on to the 320, the BetMGM Rehearsal Handicap Chase. A highly competitive race this up in the northeast, and lots of raiders from the south coming up for it. Bow to Greatness at 9-2 favourite as it stands. The Changing Man faller last time in the Badger Beers 11-2. Donny Boy 13-2. Neon Moon for the Brooks and Dunn fans at 7-1. Let's go to you, Graham, first. Who do we like in the big handicap at Newcastle?
I quite like Marble Sands here, James, off the top weight, with Nick Slatter claiming £3. But I was quite impressed with the way that Marble Sands won at Carlisle first time out. Of course, had Colonel Harry, who's hot favourite for the the Coral Gold Cup in third, and I thought he put him away quite comfortably, albeit that one probably needed the run. And might have a class edge here, going up in trip, isn't he, Marble Sands? But I don't think that'll be an issue, given that Carlisle's like a travelator finish and he came up it very strongly. He might even improve for the longer trip. He handles good ground well, because it looks like it's going to be certainly no worse than good up there this weekend at Newcastle, James. And I'm hoping that he's going to have too much class for them off top weight, Marble Sands.
Top weight at 15-2. Johnny?
I mean, I was looking through it and I was thinking, oh, they're not going from the south just for a day out. But there's quite a lot of trainers in the race you can say that about, which, so it's not really the best angle to look for. But I mean, I like one that's unfortunately only had one win from 18 runs over fences, which is never really a good sign. But it's Gustavian for Anthony Honeyball. Yeah, he definitely would have needed the run at Wincanton last month when Our Dancer was an impressive winner. But, you know, he's dropped to 124 in the ratings of his official rating. He was rated, what, 137? He's come down plenty. Sean Bowen's been booked for the ride, which for me is a huge plus. And I think 12 to 1 is a great each way price. You know, he doesn't win that often, but he does place a fair bit. And I think he's got a good chance to fit hitting the frame here.
Gustavian at a bit of price for Johnny, and you're right. I'd rarely see Sean Bowen at all ride for Anthony Honeyball. So fascinating insight there. And finally, we come to you, Ed.
Yeah, no, I agree with Graham. I've gone for Marble Sands. That's a good race normally, isn't it? The Colin Parker Memorial Chase up at Carlisle. And Robbie Wilders, who's not on the show, but he normally talks about, I forgot what he calls it, is a contingency bet where a horse runs half an hour or so earlier in the day and you might get a nice price if that horse wins. Well, the Coral Gold Cup and the favourite there, if he was to win, then Marble Sands might be a good price, because he came second to Marble Sands. And Marble Sands, you know, is an improving chaser. He's only had 6 runs, 3 wins. As Graham said, he'd be better on the faster ground. He did have the benefit of 2 flat runs when he ran at Carlisle. But, yeah, I just thought that was worth taking a chance on Marble Sands on the handicap mark, on good ground, an improving chaser. But it is a typically competitive rehearsal chase. You'll remember, James, when this used to be run at Chepstow. It was called the rehearsal chase because it was the rehearsal for the Welsh National. But now it's at Newcastle, which doesn't really make sense. But it's still called the rehearsal chase. And you can get an extra place with Unibet on this race. And it's around about 5-1 the field. So that's handy to know, to have in your back pocket. But yeah, competitive race, Marble Sands, my selection.
Marble Sands, the second shout, also agreeing with Graham. And 2 races in, we've got the nostalgia klaxon going off there for you, Ed. Right, we will be hearing what the boys fancy for 4 live races at Newbury after this short word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet.
Okay, we are into part 2 of the show now, where we are going to look at the action at Newbury. And we start in the 154, the Coral Daily Reward Shaker Handicap Hurdle, where, Ed Nicholson, we've not just got a good offer, but we've also got some insight about the Nicky Henderson stable, Impose Trois, 7-2 favourite in the Waterside Fives, Lack the Constance, 15-2, Guard the Moon, also 15-2, and Any Harm in Asking, 17-2. Ed, I teased about the Nick Henson line there. This is an interesting raider he's got here. What's the lowdown from the stable?
Well, I would say to everyone, go to the Nicky Henderson blog when it comes out, which will be around about Friday morning, because he's not just got Impose Trois, he's got 4 runners in this race, which is very unusual for Nicky. He doesn't normally like to run horses against each other. So I know we're talking to him as I'm speaking to you. So we'll get the full lowdown on the race. But what I know about Impose Trois is that he was struck into when he came third in the at Kempton. That was the Lanzarote, wasn't it? When he was quite well fancied that day. So they've been very patient, as is Nicky Henderson's byword, with this horse, who is still potentially well handicapped off a mark of 1.34, ran really well in that £100,000 handicap at Ascot around Christmas time, when second to Lucia, stablemate, pulled a little bit early on that day as well. So Implicit Twire is definitely, I think, still a step ahead of the handicapper, and will be my selection. What is interesting, though, James Bowen riding for Nicky Henderson and JP McManus. He's only ridden one horse since that ride on John Bond, remember, back in the Cotswold Chase. That's really interesting, I thought. He's only ridden Chantry House both at a couple of times. But he's back on two horses for JP this weekend. And he's ridden Imposé Twire twice and got beaten on him twice. But I don't think you can really hold him accountable for that. I think Imposé Twire will be ready. Interestingly, back up to 2.5 miles or thereabouts, 2.5 miles. And is obviously the number, well, I think will be the number one Nicky Henderson horse. So I'm going to go for Imposé Twire, but I wouldn't put anyone off Guard the Moon. I'll be speaking to the racing manager, and they've come back in distance from that run at Aintree. I know the Twist and Davises collectively thought that he may not stay that extra distance. I'm not too sure, because he seemed to run on quite well, but they've come back in distance. And the good ground, which is getting faster at Newbury, when I started doing my previews, it was soft. Now it's good to soft. The good ground would definitely suit that horse. So Guard the Moon's got a chance, but I just think Imposé Twire is a step ahead of the handicapper.
A good look at the race there, Ed. And I think the only other comment I'd make on James Byrne is he has made a really flying start to the season. So nice to see he's rewarded with some good opportunities at Newbury on Saturday. Do we think, Graham Wadway, he's going to win the first of our four live ITV races?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I mean, he's tight on the fav, isn't he, in post, like you say, and Henderson's got loads in it. And I think he's won it, hasn't he, a couple of times, Henderson recently. Usually he's won a few of these races. Yeah, what was it called? Champ won it, apparently. Yeah, 2018, Cashman 2019. So, yeah, it's quite obvious that Henderson targets the race, but so does Dan Skelton. And he's won the race twice in the last 5 years, I think, with Flash the Steel and Get the Tonic. And he runs Lec de Constance, who I thought shaped very much like he needed the run. First time back off a layoff at Uttoxeter. He was moving quite well into contention, coming towards, I think it was the second last or the last, and he took a fall just when he was about to make his challenge. I think he'll come on for that run, James, Lec de Constance, and the form's worked out quite well. The fourth is a subsequent winner, and I think that if he takes a step forward, he could run really well in a race that Skelton's probably mapped out for him. So Lec de Constance for me, James.
Lac de Constance at 15-2. Worth saying as well, this is a money back if you're second and third with Unibet. So a competitive race and well worth a second look, because it does look harder. Johnny, you always pull one out your sleeve at a good price. Have you got one? You got one here? No pressure, although I've teed you up for it.
I think it depends how soft the ground end up being for me. I mean, the top two in the market, I can see the obvious form claims for them, but I always dislike this time of year horses that haven't had a run. Is this race just a step to somewhere else? And I'd be thinking that about the first two. For all they could both be well enough handicapped to get the job done. Guard the Moon, I really liked Aintree, and he actually ran very well that day. Just ran into Harbour Lake on form and didn't really do a lot wrong. But I've been waiting for any harm in asking to run since he ran at Cheltenham in October. Obviously, he doesn't want it too soft. So, I mean, I think for me, it'll be see how the ground is on Friday. And if it looks quick enough, I think any harm in asking will be a each way play for myself.
Already been some support as well, 17-2 from 10s. That was the first of our four live ITV races at Newbury 154. Let's move on to the 225, the Coral Racing Club Intermediate Handicap Hurdle, often known as the Jerry Fielden, where we get to see Jericho du Repenay, after his exertions at Sandown not too long ago, back over hurdles. A competitive race. We've always got Liari 6-1, Queen's Gamble 13-2, back for her first start of the season. Salva, we've wanted to see him for the last few weekends. It looks like this could be the opportunity we see him. He's at 7s, and Accelero for Jane Williams at 15-2. Graham, Jericho de Repenay is a fascinating favourite at the top here. Are we going to trust him back over hurdles? Does this seem a bit of a change of direction? How do you assess this race and also his quite strange start to the season?
Yeah, very bizarre start to the season, wasn't it? And it's one of those runs where you thought, oh, God, might not see him for a while. So to see him back out quite quickly is, I suppose, a positive. And at the start of the week, I thought, I could see this going off 5-2, 9-4, 2-1. I mean, look at the prices he's gone off in the past. He always goes off a short price, Jericho, De Repine. But the price is holding up, and that would worry me a little bit. I get the feeling that the market's going to have half an idea of what we might see here before it actually happens. If the money comes for him, I could see him running very well, but I wouldn't want to get involved, without seeing how the market goes. He's by far the most exciting runner in the race, and if he does win it, who knows where he could end up. I mean, they've always said he was grade one horse. They won it with a Champion Hurdle winner 3 or 4 years ago, didn't they, an Epatant. So they run good horses here, Henderson. And I just don't know, James, is the answer to that one, but I think the market might know. The one that I'm gonna suggest backing is the Henderson supposed second string, Aston Martini, who's a mare, and is ridden by David Bass, who, of course, is, I think he's split with Kim Bailey, hasn't he? Is that right, James? You'll know that, won't you?
Yes, indeed, yeah.
Yeah, so he's back out on his own, and obviously he started off with Nicky, didn't he, David Bass? So back with one of his old partners in crime, and I thought it was a really good run first time out by Aston Martini, beaten by My Eye in a race that was running a really good time. And it's got loads and loads of upside. And like I said already, Henderson's won this many, many times with good hurdlers in the past. So I'm going to take a chance on Aston Martini at the prices. But it wouldn't surprise me if Jericho De Repine got smashed and came home on the bridle and made them all look silly.
There we go. 11-1 Aston Martini as it stands. Now, last time, Johnny, you're on the show. I think it was the last time you're on the show. You got some involvement with our champ. You give a bit of a mention to the horse who bolted up at a huge price. I think 14s at the time of recording. Are you going to strike lightning twice again?
I'd be less convinced this time around. Obviously, he's gone up in the handicap. The ground's going to be a big factor. And this looks a more competitive race. Jericho, there's a few in here we don't know quite how good they are. You've got like Jericho De Repine, which obviously you're talking about Bouvardier going chasing. This is another one, but the same colours. It's sort of following that profile. But I'd have to agree with everything Graham has said about Aston Martini. I thought that was a really decent ride last time, and run last time on reappearance, and looks far too big a price. And the other one I'd give a shout out to would be Liari for Paul Nicholls. Ran well on reappearance at Chepstow. Looked a bit tired late, but kept on well enough. Dodger Long's came out since, ran well at Cheltenham. Balboa, who was second that day, has been out since, and actually, despite coming fifth, actually ran, I think, an improved effort that day. And I think that form might work out quite well. So I'd be with Liari and Aston Martini here.
Liari at sixes and Aston Martini, who Graham also likes, at 11s. Thanks for that, Johnny. And finally, Ed, we'll come to you.
Yeah, I kind of found this race really interesting. The Jerry Fielden, as it's known, but now obviously with another name. As Graham said, this race is a race that Nicky's won before in these colours with Epatant, who won it off a rating of 137 before going on to win the Christmas hurdle. So you could say he likes to have a well-handicapped horse here, and Jericho De Repine could be a well-handicapped horse, rated only 135. I know that they took him to Newbury just to saddling up, just to see whether that was anything, that he was going to have a problem with it, and he was okay. So at least they can tick that box off. But as Graham said, you can't really back him given the way that he performed, not just in the race, but beforehand. So although I think he's very well-handicapped, I'm going to go with Liari. Paul Nicholls, Harry Cobden, similar reasons as already been mentioned, ran really well in the Paul Ferguson 4-year-olds to follow race at Chepstow at the Unibet Jump season opener, went third, been dropped a pound for that, which I thought was quite nice for the handicapper. I think he definitely needed the run, and I think they were getting him ready for the Unibet Greatwood, but he didn't turn up. He was my selection, but he didn't turn up for that race. So I've got to keep the faith. These colours are going to be very famous colours, I think, over the next few years. They've already been successful, quite successful with Paul Nicholls. But Neil Smith and Alfie Smith, I met them along with Liz Smith at Chepstow, and they had a really nice bumper winner that day. which I'm going to mention, which was Sinatra, who I think could be one of the best bumper horses they've got. But anyway, Liari, I think, is worth a chance here at 6-1 or thereabouts in what is a competitive race. And we're not only just going extra place here, but we'll have loads of other offers on the day as well. But we're certainly going extra place.
Liari at 6-1, and keep an eye out for Sinatra, the bump horses, which Ed was singing the praises of there. We move on to the 3 o'clock at Newbury, the big race of the weekend, the Coral Gold Cup. Colonel Harry, 6-1, joint favourite with Broadway Boy, Victorino, 7s, Senior Chief, 15-2, Candu Kid, 15-2. The Skeltons look to take this out with two good runners. They've got Midnight River and Gala de Latteau. And finally, Henry's Friend for Ben Pauling at 10-1. Feverishly competitive race. Johnny Pearson, what wins?
That's a good question, James. It's a very good question. It's obviously competitive. I like the former Senior Chief, but he's gone up £9 for his win at Cheltenham, and I think that might find him out of touch. I mean, the main question I've got is how soft it's actually going to be. If it's on the softer side and pretty soft, I'd really like the chance of Gallia Delito for the Skelton team. Ran pretty well over an inadequate trip at Carlisle earlier on in November. You know, just getting found out for a bit of speed on reappearance. She's entitled to come on plenty for that. I think she's well handicapped mare. And yeah, if it's not too quick, I think she could have a big say here.
In fairness to her, she was running a hell of a race at the Grand National up to a point. Looked a bit eye-catching, and just the trip, just the stamina was just came out, really. That's how I saw them to seem to take from it.
She didn't run badly that day at all. Just that, you know, 4 miles is just a little bit too far for some horses, obviously, but 3 is no problem for her at all.
9-1 chance for Johnny. Graham?
I think this is very difficult, James. There might only be 14 runners, which for this race is not particularly many, but I could make a case for an awful lot of them. I'll tell you that. I'm not going to, because we'll be here all day. Earlier in the week, I've tipped Victorino and Henry's Friend. Victorino has got an obvious chance. Obviously, Venetia's flying. She's got a good record at the track and is well handicapped on last season's form. Henry's Friend's got the right profile for the race. Second season, chaser. And Ben Paulding said he's got, you know, he's his best chance of winning this race that he's ever had. And he had a spin at the course over hurdles last time. And I think they'll both run well. But the one I can't resist backing, which might seem a bit silly, but I'm presuming Ed's going to give us an extra place here, on Sam Brown. It's a ridiculous price for a horse that you can back each way and just runs well every single time he shows up. I mean, he never runs a bad race nowadays, and he's rising 13, you know, but the Honey Monster's got him really sweet in his old age. Sam Brown, and he ran another cracker when flying home to finish third behind Real Whacker and Brave Man's Game. You know, they're proper good horses, aren't they, in the context of a race like this. And he was placed at Aintree last season, absolutely flying home. I can see what's going to happen in this race already. Like, he'll be scrubbed along out the back, looking like he's going nowhere, turning out the back straight. But I can just see him up that home straight in Newbury, rattling home. And I think he's got a great chance of being in the four. And if they go too hard, he might even pick up the pieces and win. So the nearly 13-year-old Sam Brown.
28-1. Love to see it. And my word, that would be some story if Sam Brown was to pull it off at the age of 13. Ed?
Well, the klaxon should go off because I love this race. This is such a memory race for me going back to... We were talking off camera. I go back to like the 80s, Bright Highway. But... Jadami coming second in this to Simpton Abbey in 92, and Party Politics coming second in this race in 91. And the reason I mention them, and horses like One Man, who's won it in the past, they're second season chasers who get a good handicap mark. And I love second season chasers in this race with a handicap mark of around about 146 to 149 is... I mean, you can't go far wrong. I think in the last 7 years alone, 5 horses have won, been rated between 146 and 149, second season chasers, many of them. And there's only 5 horses that are kind of rated that this year, and one of them's Colonel Harry, who I think's got every box ticked apart from one, which is the distance. I think it's a good bet around about 6-7-1, but the only worry is the distance, because he's going up a hell of a lot in distance. Same connections as last year, last year's winner, sorry, but he's got some good form. He's a grade one novice. He only ran twice out of grade one company last year on his debut, and then when he won a grade two Taunton. So he's a top class novice. He didn't win all the races, but he ran in them third, fourth, fifth. And he's got the handicap mark to go with it. So I thought there's a lot of positives for Colonel Harry. Came second in that Colin Parker, which is always a good race. 2.5 miles would have got him right for this. Also, that was the wrong way round. He jumped to his left there. This is much more to his liking going this way round. The only problem I can see is if Graham's right and they go off quick and it's soft and it's a war of attrition, because then I would be worried about his stamina. But apart from that, I can see him swinging along and being given every chance to get home. And then Gavin Sheehan, who's so, I think he's one of the best jockeys in the weighing room at that sort of ride. I think he can come there and win the race at around about 6-7-1. So yeah, Colonel Harry will be my selection, but it is a competitive race, which is why we're going the extra place, like Graham said. But another renewal, whether it's a great renewal, I'm not too sure, but it's lots of plenty of good horses in the race.
Fair point on the quality of the race. It perhaps isn't as strong as we have seen in yesteryear, of which you have mentioned, and in a good case for Colonel Harriet, 6-1. Just to go back, you mentioned last year's winner, That's All Right Genie. There were some similar doubts about his stamina, but he still managed to win emphatically. So another positive there on Colonel Harry. Let's move on to our final race we'll be looking at from Newbury, and the final one of the card as well. This is the 3:35, the Coral Pit at the Post, and you win handicap chase over 2 miles, where Imperial Saint is going for a four-timer. He is 85-40 to do so. Petit Tonnerre at fours, Etalon at 11-2. What do we like in this one, Graham? Are we going to stick with Imperial Saint? Is it as straightforward as it was last time we had him running on a postcast? Keith Melrose said he just simply wins, and he did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And he's rapidly improving, isn't he? And he might well be a bit better than the grade. But he's priced accordingly, and he's gone up £10 in the weights, and he's, what, £14, £15 higher than for his first win. So he's going to have to be improving as much as maybe he looks. I'd rather take him on, and I'm quite fancy one here, James, and that is called Isar Dairy. For Gary and Josh Moore, finished second behind Martator at Ascot last time, and Martator of course came out and followed up, and he beat also called Cotmask on the weekend, and Cotmask was behind Isar Dairy in the Ascot race. So I mean, that form is rock solid, no doubt about it. Isar Dairy splitting those two, and he's a course and distance winner, and Gary and Josh Moore I think will have lined him up for this one. So, I think the form of Isar Dairy entitles him to be a much shorter price than is currently available.
Isar Dairy, 15-2. Ed, we've got a price boost in this race as well.
Yeah, it's a price boost we don't often talk about on the postcast. We offer loads of different offers throughout the course of the day. We have a price boost where we price the favourite in particular races. This is one of those. We've got plenty on the day, but within the ITV races, it's the only one. We've got promotions and offers in every single one of the ITV races this weekend. So if you do fancy the favourite, do go onto the site, because you will get a price boost. The next price up on the ladder for Imperial Saint. I don't know whether I'd be interested in that, though. I think he's gone up an awful lot in the handicap. Last time out, he beat horses in the hundreds. And as Keith said, and we all said, he just wins. So it wasn't that competitive race. This is a much deeper race, and he's up £10. He started his handicap wins off 117. He's now on 130. He can't beat Petit Tonnerre on the weights, given the first and second run that Aintree 2 runs back. And there are other horses in this race that can beat him. So I'd be taking Imperial Saint on. And the one I'm going to go for is Bo Balco, who landed on a nice bet on this horse at Wincanton when he won. And I think Bo Balco, the key to him is that this season they've been able to control him. He's able to settle more. I think he's still a step ahead of the handicap, which he needs to be, because he's gone up £4, I think, from winning that race at Wincanton, when Ben Bromley rode a lovely race on him, just bringing him there at the final fence and going away and winning. So Harry Cobden hopefully will be able to anchor the horse in, a fastest pace will suit, and maybe come home. I thought 10 to 1 was quite a big price or thereabouts, whereas I thought kind of the price on Imperial Saint was actually quite skinny.
Yep, Bo Belko, part of that Wincanton, five-time Paul Nichols on Badger Beer Day. He's Ed Nicholson's selection. What is Johnny Pearson's?
Yeah, I think Imperial Saint's terrible value here, to be honest. I think he's gone up a lot more than he perhaps should have. It doesn't look overly well handicapped to me. I'm going to be having two plays here. Now, there's a horse in here that I'm convinced must be well handicapped based on some of his form from last season, and I'd put a line for his run at Cheltenham earlier in the month. And that's Petit Tonnerre for the John Joe O'Neill and AJ O'Neill. He's, I mean, you go, okay, it wasn't the best running of the Henry VIII at Sandown last season, but, you know, you've got some decent form. Colonel Harry was obviously in there as well. He's got halfway decent form with Liberty Hunter back in January. He obviously ran a close second at the festival. And he's come down from a mark of 139 to 127. Like, he should be winning a race. And I'd also have a small bet each way on I'd Like to Know for Chris Gordon. They've all needed the run this season. He's had one at Newbury. He still looks well handicapped to me. If you go back to his run at Kempton in May, then he should be able to go close at a decent price here.
I'd Like to Know at 10 to 1 for Johnny and Petit Tonnerre at 4s. Another selection. We'll be hearing what else the boys like from around the cards after this. Okay, lots of action across the rest of the ITV action. Ed, let's start with you. What have you picked out for us?
Well, there's a great race off the cameras, which I'm surprised is not on the cameras. It's the 115 at Newbury. There are at least four horses in that race who have the shallow hurdle, the Grade 1 race in January. Is it January or late December as their next race after this? And there's some good runners. Two of them ran at Chepstow when I was there. The New Lion, it's one of them, and Friendship the other. They're both good horses, but I thought Califay on Vol was a serious contender for Group 1 races later on in the year. He obviously needs to get to that level, and this is the next stepping stone. But he won easy at Kempton in a race that he should have won. But if you guys get a chance to go onto the excellent Racing Post site and look at the last run on the video, you'll see how far he went clear of that field after the last. I was there that day, and I spoke to Connections, and they were really impressed the way he just went away without even being asked. They are looking at the shallow hurdle for this horse. He is rated the best horse in the race. Not too sure what the price will be. He might be odds on, but I'm really looking forward to seeing him run in a race that Nicky Henderson does well in. So, yeah, Califay on Vol. I'll be really interested in that with a look for the future as much as anything else.
Exactly. And the shallow already beginning to look like an exciting race. In the Christmas period, lots of big named horses already going there. Graham, what else has taken your eye?
Yeah, in the 12:40, it's the Sir Peter O'Sullivan Memorial Handicap Chase, isn't it? I mean, all those going down memory lane earlier with Ed, I mean, all of those would have been called home by Sir Peter, wouldn't they? The voice of racing, as he was. And I think JP McManus always runs his runners in the O'Sullivan Silks, doesn't he, as a one-off in this race. It's always a good race every year. It's always very competitive. And I just really fancy Lemilos, who is a previous winner of the Coral Gold Cup, isn't he, I think. He's back down to a mark that I think is £2 lower or £3 lower than when he won that race. So he's really well handicapped. And he's shaped very well behind Senior Chief, who's also in the big one. At Cheltenham last time, travelled really nicely, but just looked like he was in need of the run. Plenty from the yard at that time. It was in October, were needing the outing. And, Dan Skelton's won this race quite recently. I'm sure he'll have had a plan mapped out for Lemelos. He's so well handicapped. I think he might outclass this lot. That's the 12:40 at Newbury, Lemelos.
Finally, Johnny, what have you got for us?
There's some decent racing over at Ferry House. You've got Impair at Pass making his chase debut, which is fairly exciting. You've got Bumper Winner from Cheltenham from a couple of years back, A Dream to Share, finally making his hurdling debut. Then you've got a Grade 3 in the 155, which you've got quite a few ran against each other. You've got Gimme 5, Butler Secret obviously ran against each other, and Dodge Along all ran against each other at Cheltenham in October. But I really like Cala Conti in that race. I think she'll be too good there.
So that's Cala Conti in the 155 at Ferry House. Lots of good action to look forward to over in Ireland on the weekend. And finally, it's time for our naps. So what is our best bet of the weekend? Let's start with you, Graham.
Yeah, going to be another good weekend for the Skeltons, hopefully, and they'll be with one of theirs again. The 154, Lac de Constance is my nap. James?
Johnny?
The Fighting Fifth Hurdle, the 210 at Newcastle, and it'll be Mystical Power.
Before I come on to you, on Ed, I'll give you mine. Mine is Imperial Saint, which you've all been downbeat on. I didn't get a chance to defend myself on this. I think your price boost is going to cost you, Ed Nicholson, and Unibet. Also, look really, really impressive. I think he's progressive. I think he's massively progressive. Yes, there are a few in there who have fallen on good handicap marks, but the Hobbs team are in flying form this season. I think this also got loads more to offer. I expect him to prove much better than his mark as it is. So hopefully you will rue to regret that lovely offer you've got. Ed, and what are you going for?
The Coral Gold Cup, I'm going to go for Colonel Harry. He fits the bill, doesn't he? Second season chaser, was running at the top table last year. Got a nice handicap mark of 148, which is in line with five of the last seven winners of the race. And is from the same combination as last year's successful trainer and jockey. So, yeah, Colonel Harry, as long as he gets the distance, I think he'll win.
Colonel Harry there. So thank you very much for listening. That we'll be back next Thursday at 7 p.m. for another weekend preview. If you do enjoy these shows, do make sure to rate, review, subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Also, let us know your fancies down in the comments. Until next time, enjoy the racing. Goodbye and gamble responsibly.